Oh man, a few seconds wouldn't hurt. never hurts having a little bit more time. It's good to see everybody out this evening. We're going to maybe spend a little bit of time in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 11 is where we'll probably spend a majority of the time this evening. I'm just pretty scatterbrained, so maybe if we don't connect all the dots tonight, I'll work on that, and we'll get it figured out next Sunday. We'll talk a little bit about, started talking last Sunday night, or a week ago Sunday night, about reconnecting with God. We kind of used Isaiah and the battle against the prophets of Baal towards that. And so today we'll look a little bit at Hosea and reconnecting to God because of the disconnect of our sin. And a lot of times, maybe most of the time, maybe for some of us all of the time, well, we don't see sin the same way that God does. A lot of times our attitudes may vary from denying it as if maybe nothing is wrong, or mocking it. If I laugh about it, it can't be that big of a deal. Some may minimize their sin. Again, it's not that big of a deal. We might put off, I'll worry about that tomorrow. I'm going to take care of that issue tomorrow. Sometimes you might see it and you genuinely and repent and feel bad. And I think probably at different times, we wear all of those attitudes in regards to sin at some point. The Bible tells us that God sees sin as an insult to his holiness, sort of a rejection of his righteousness. And Hosea is going to give us a pretty good description of God's sin, or God's view of sin and redemption. So just to talk a little bit about Hosea, it's the first book in a collection of books called the Minor Prophets. And Hosea, he makes a pretty big contribution to the message of hope and comfort. And he uses unforgettable imagery of God's love that God won't let his people go. And the theme is that of Israel's unfaithfulness. And there is punishment to come, and also the healing love of God. Chapter 14, verse 4 says, as God speaking to Hosea says, I will heal their apostasy, I will love them freely. And as Hosea lived his life in the northern kingdom, that's where he was from, he had, as you read the chapters of Hosea, he had a heart-wrenching experience within his family. And so Hosea is able to use that anguish in his heart to be able to speak of the anguish in the heart of God, maybe like no other. Like one commentary said, that where Amos dwells on what God has done for Israel, Hosea dwells on what God has felt for Israel. And I like the way that looked at it. I think what makes this speak to our hearts so much is an expression of how God saw Israel with his unrelenting love. It's one of those great chapters in the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 11, maybe the whole Bible, letting us know about the heart and mind of God in ways that we can understand it in human terms. God calls us so often, as a father does to his children. And here in Hosea, he's a brokenhearted father calling to his children. And he is a God that loves his children. Even when we're being disobedient, God has a love for us. It's a long and pretty ugly story all throughout Hosea. Hosea 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. God starts there. He reminds them of the deliverance from slavery in Egypt, and an exodus of deliverance from bondage into a relationship that they could have with God. Matthew quotes this verse in Matthew chapter 2 in verse 15 when he's talking about when the baby Jesus is escaping the decree from Herod to kill all the babies. Well, God is still delivering us from our sins today when we turn to him in faith and repentance and baptism, seeking that holiness and strength from him. We know that our God is a God who heals. Verse 3 of Hosea 11 says, "Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them." And I think that's one thing that we can share throughout time and space, is the great disease that we all have of sin being in our hearts. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we continue to find where Luke calls Jesus the great physician. That's where we find Jesus still healing people today. Mark 2:17 says that Jesus said to them that it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." We also have a God, as a Father, who leads us. In verse 4, he says, "I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love." In Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, in 64, verse 8, there Isaiah records, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." And so following God's lead is a crucial element of discipleship. In the New Testament, Peter would say in 1 Peter 2:21 that this is the reason that you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. We know that God is a Father who cares. The last part of that verse of 4 of Hosea 11 says, "And I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws, and I bent down to them and fed them." And I just can't think of a prettier picture of God there, of giving, supplementing all of the needs of his children there, that Israel would experience far beyond anything really that they had the right to expect. Maybe that's true for us too. The psalmist would write in Psalms chapter 8, verse 3, that "when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" Well, God is also the Father of compassion and mercy. So we go into the later parts of verses 8 there. God says, my heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst. I will not come in wrath. And that's a very, I think, one of the most emotional passages in Hosea is there of God saying that he's going to take care of his people and not come in wrath. In the New Testament, for us Christians, Paul would tell the Galatians in Galatians 4:6 that because you are his sons, that God has sent his spirit of his sons into our hearts. The spirit who has called you out, Abba Father, the spirit who calls out, Abba Father. We know that God is a Father who calls us back to him. Again, Hosea 11, verses 10 and 11, it says that they shall go after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will return them to their homes, declares the Lord. This is sort of a ray of hope, and it's really not going to get realized until Jesus comes, until the Messiah comes to this earth. And that's who they're going to be called by the gospel of peace, by Jesus. And so really in fulfilling that prediction, Hosea's earlier predictions are also going to be fulfilled. These people will have come to a spiritual Zion, as the writer of Hebrews would put it. And so, again, as we kind of wrap things up here this evening, in spite of all of these things that God has said that he wants to do, what do you think Israel does? Well, Israel, in response to that, they continue to sacrifice animals to the Baals. They refuse to repent. And they even kind of call out God, and they continue their rejection of God. God would say that my people are bent on turning away from me, and though they call out to the Most High, he shall not raise them up at all. And I think those are words that we should be mindful of as well. We have a God who is our Father that calls out to us. Now, what's he calling us out of, or maybe what's he calling you into? I don't know the answer to that. But what difference will it make if he calls you and you don't hear or you don't listen? We have a God who's been brokenhearted over the choices of Israel, over the choices of all his people, no doubt, through all of time. But he reaches past all of that hurt to that love that he's had available to us all along. No matter how deep you've crawled into some sort of pit of shame or godless living, that doesn't have to be your period or exclamation point or question mark. That doesn't have to be the end of your story. Maybe you don't think of God very often as brokenhearted. And I know I don't. Sometimes he's either the nice grandpa that I think of, or he's coming down hard. Sometimes God's brokenhearted. And it's a lot of times because I don't look at sin through God's eyes. And what breaks God's heart is probably most how we destroy our own lives and brings us heartache and sorrow. John would record in 1 John 3:1 that we see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not show him. And so this evening, as we leave here tonight, just a few things. Be open. Hear the heart of God for you. Again, think of verse 4 there of Hosea 14, where God says, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned from them. What great words to hear from God the Father. We should look for ways, if we've been disconnected with God, to reconnect with the Father who cares for you. And hope and pray this week that we can find all the compassion of God and be able to demonstrate that around the people that live amongst us. Tonight, if you're not a Christian and have made that decision to put Christ on in baptism, the baptismal waters are ready and we are prepared to do that. If you're a Christian and have found that you need help from the congregation, that you would like that publicly be made known, please come now as together we stand and we sing.